The following message is from the audio teaching library of the Briarwood Pulpit, a ministry of the Briarwood Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, Alabama. Our speaker is Dr. Harry Reeder, senior pastor of Briarwood Presbyterian Church. It is our hope and prayer that this message will equip and encourage you in your walk with Christ, and as a result, you will be used by our Lord as an instrument of change to further His kingdom and bring honor and glory to the name of Christ. Here now is our pastor teacher, Harry Reeder.
If you'll take your copies of God's Word and turn with me to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 13. What a glorious time of celebration we had at Palm Sunday morning, and then the concert that night, the Passion of Christ. Then I do, as Bruce said, I hope you've enjoyed and made full use of your following the steps of Christ through the devotional guide. Now we come here where our Lord has brought to us this, the Lord's Supper, and instituted it for us. And tomorrow, and by the way, we'll, just to, so you know, like all of our communion services, there will be the Mercy Deacons will be at the back on your way out so that you can give your alms offering that will go to the Mercy Ministry at Briarwood engages in. And then also you've got the our service tomorrow, Good Friday, in which we walk through the biblical narratives and the time of reflection and confession and meditation and singing on the biblical narratives from 12 until 1 o'clock when our Savior went to the cross, and then, of course, the sunrise service at 6:30 and the celebration resurrection services at 8 and 10:55, and then the concert that will be provided on Sunday night. That's all in front of us. Tonight, though, we come to Maundy Thursday, and I would like to maybe just bring, here's what I want to do. I want to answer one question that I know many of you have. I want to give you one reminder, and then I want to give you one thought as you come to the Lord's table. And I want to do that by asking you to turn with me to this text that sets up the Lord's Supper, which was Bruce read to you the account from Mark, and John will lead us in the words of institution given by Paul before we come to the table. But I want you to hear this with me to secure this one thought that I want to share with you on our way to the table. Now, before chapter 13, verse 1 of St. John. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And during supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God, and he was going back to God, rose from supper, laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. And then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? And Jesus answered him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but afterwards you will understand. And Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, then, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, the one who is bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him, and that was why he said, not all of you are clean. So what's the question I'd like to try to answer for you that I believe many of you have? Pastor Reeder, the service tonight. Is it Maundy or Thursday we're having the service? You know, in the South, we have a habit of being a little sloppy with our words. So sometimes when we say Maundy, we're just thinking, well, that's a Southern way to say Monday. And they got mixed up. And so maybe it's a choice, Maundy or Thursday. Well, no, Maundy actually has accompanied the celebration of the Lord's Supper during Holy Week for hundreds and hundreds of years because it comes from a Latin word. Maundy comes from a Latin word. The word is mendi, and it means, we get another word in our language, mandate. So it means mandated night. The mandated night of celebrating the mandate from the Lord. Now, the question has always been, what mandate? Is it the mandate of the Lord's Supper, or is it the mandate that our Lord gave at the Lord's Supper, later recorded in the Gospel of John, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another? So, Pastor, is it the mandate that we now have a new supper, the Lord's Supper, that replaces the Passover? And he said, mandate, do this in remembrance of me. Or is it the mandate, you shall love one another, a new commandment I give to you? Which is it? And so I would say to you, I think it's both. I think both combine to make this a very pointed time in the life of God's people as they focus upon the fact that at the table we are mandated to remember the Lord, and from the table we are mandated to love one another. And then our Savior said these words after he said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. He said this, by this the world will know that you are my disciples. So we manifest our relationship with him, not only in our obedience to come to the table, but also in our obedience to love one another distinctly and differently from a worldly love, but a Christ-sacrificing love to one another. And then I want to give you a reminder that our Savior is celebrating the last Passover. I mean, this is a week of last as well as first. It's the last Sabbath of the Old Covenant when he rests in the grave. It is the last Passover that he now fulfills, being the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world and reestablishes the Passover, just as the Sabbath will be refurbished into the Lord's Day of the Christian Sabbath of the resurrection of Christ. So the Lord's Supper is now replacing the Passover. And that bloody meal is now replaced by the bloodless meal, the one pointing to Christ, the other pointing back to what Christ has done, remembering the body and blood of the Lord. And it's also, by the way, the anticipation of another meal that he will eat with us, and that is the meal with the Lamb in all of eternity, when we gather there, all of his people from every tribe and nation, to give praise to the Lamb. Well, answering the question about Maundy and a reminder of the Lord's Supper and some of the things surrounded this. What's the thought I want to share with you? If I was to say to you, June the 6th, 1944, what would you say back to me? D-Day. Immediately you would say that. D-Day. That's military language. H hour and D-Day. And actually, it didn't begin in World War II, and it was officially embraced by military protocol in World War I because of a particular attack on called Field Order Number 9 in World War I, an attack on a place called Saint Michael, and then they said, "Here is D-Day, and here is H hour here's the day, and here's the hour that it kicks off." And so it became military language to identify the moment in which an assault against the enemy is to take place. An assault against the enemy is to take place. The one most of us think about, of course, goes to World War II. Probably the worst kept secret that's ever existed in military was the fact that there was about to be an invasion of the Allied forces. But while the invasion was a poorly kept secret, where and when actually was a pretty well kept secret. And where were they going to land, and when were they going to show up? And of course, the D-Day was June the 6th. H hour was that time when all of those planes took off, some bombers and some carriers. Bombers to go to the targets and soften them up, and then the carriers that would take 20,000 paratroopers into Europe and drop them on the flanks of the invasion. That was H hour on D-Day, in which the assault was to take place. If you'll remember back last Sunday, I took some time with you to walk through a text of scripture in the Gospel of John. Since we were singing John's Passion last Sunday night that Bach developed, I thought it would be good for us to kind of stay in the Gospel of John this entire 8 days to glory, this entire Holy Week. And I'm going to do the same thing on sunrise, Easter Sunday morning when I preach from John 20 and the resurrection discovery in John 20. But I thought I would also take you back just to a thought that I gave to you from the text this last Sunday. Do you remember that there were five different elements of the crowd that met Jesus? Now you say, Pastor, I don't remember because I wasn't here last Sunday. Shame, shame, shame. I'm sorry you weren't here. But if you were away or you're visiting us tonight, what we did was looked at this large crowd was actually a crowd of five different elements that John describes for us. And they all have their own agenda about this moment when they're coming to Jesus. And the last group that comes up to him from the crowd at the very end through two of his disciples, Andrew and Philip, were the Gentiles. And the Gentiles came up with this statement, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And when they came up with that statement, "Sir, we would see Jesus," Jesus responds this way, "My hour has come." Now, it's a very significant moment because that signals his refusal to say something that he had said multiple times during his 3-year ministry, which was this, "My hour has not come." Multiple times he said that. "My hour has not come." He will never say that again. He now says, "My hour has come," and it won't be the only time he says it. He'll say it then on that Palm Sunday after he had cleansed the temple and from which he would return back to Bethany that night. "My hour has come." Then he'll say it 5 more times. He'll say it to his disciples, and he will make very clear that there is a mixed reaction that he has to this hour. "My soul is troubled, for my hour has come." It's a glorious hour because he says this, "In this hour my Father will be glorified. And my Father has said the Son will be glorified, and I will be lifted up, and I will save my people and draw all of my people from all of the nations to myself." It is a glorious hour. And on the one hand, it is an hour he rejoices in. It is an hour he embraces, but it's also an hour that he recoils from. He will even say in the garden a few days later, "Is there any way this cup can pass from me?" It's an hour from which he recoils. It's an hour in which he rejoices. He will say it again as he prays the high priestly prayer in John 17. "O Father, I do not pray for the world. I pray for those whom you've given me out of the world. My hour has come. I do not ask you to take them out of the world." But he calls upon the Father to bring them to himself as he is lifted up to save them. He will also say it again when he gives the new commandment. And he says it right here when he initiates the new covenant meal. When he celebrates the last Passover and institutes the new covenant meal of the Lord's Supper. Did you hear it? Go back with me to John chapter 13 and look at verse 1. What does he say here in verse 1? He says, "Now before the feast of the Passover," he's now got the preparations, he's about to celebrate it, but before that, as they're arriving and as they're coming together where he will wash their feet, Jesus knew his hour had come. It's a statement that he continually repeats, and it's a statement of significance. It is an hour in which the Father will be glorified through his atoning work on the cross. It is an hour in which Jesus will be glorified as he satisfies the justice of the Father to save his people from their sins. It is an hour in which his people will be redeemed from their sins because of his atoning sacrifice. It is an hour that will be described as him being lifted up on that cross from which, when he is proclaimed, he will draw all kinds of men to himself from all the nations. And it is an hour that we are to bring our focus upon, even as the Apostle Paul said, I determined to know nothing among you but Christ and him crucified. It is the hour where the holiness of God is satisfied by the grace of God through the Son of God out of the love of God to save sinners for the glory of God. A glorious hour. This is the greatest week in all of history. Tomorrow we'll remember the greatest day, D-Day. Because our Savior will also say this in the Gospel of John. He will say, the hour has come when I will destroy the works of the evil one. The all-out, no-holds-barred assault upon the kingdom of darkness, upon Satan, upon sin, and upon the grave. D-Day has arrived. And the hour has come. Paul says, whenever I preach, I always bring you back to this hour, Christ and him crucified. There is your hope. There is your salvation. There is your life. And brothers and sisters, it is so important. It is not only in the great hymns of the church, just as you just sung them. It is not only the thread that unites every expositional sermon from the Word of God that's faithful to the Word of God. It is also displayed before you every time we come to the Lord's Supper. You are reminded on that day, Christ ascended not a throne, but a cross. And on that day, the King of Glory laid aside his glory to take your sin and my sin. On that day, the blood of Christ saves me from my sins. On that day, the righteousness of Christ has been placed upon me that I might be accepted in the Beloved One. And our Lord says it will not only be before all faithful sermons, in all faithful worship, but I will put it at the very foundation of the meal of the covenant every time you celebrate it. Remember the body and blood of the Lord. Remember the cosmic warfare and D-Day. Remember that hour when our Savior satisfied the justice of God to save us to the love of God by the grace of God. Remember, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. At the right time, God demonstrated his own love for us. when Christ died for those who are his enemies, even as he defeated enemies, he saved us to himself. Remember that moment as you come to his table. He did when he made this table for you, knowing his hour had come. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the great privilege to be together around this table. Father, as we come to the table, would you allow us to fix our eyes on Jesus? Our glory is in the cross. Not just any cross, but the cross where Christ was crucified. Many have died on crosses, but there is only one Savior. And our Savior went to that cross at that hour, at the right time, and won the victory. Jesus, we would see you. Fix our eyes on Jesus. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Amen.
You have been listening to a message by Harry Reeder, Senior Pastor of Briarwood Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, Alabama. For more information on the resources available through Briarwood Presbyterian Church, or for more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Reeder, visit us at briarwood.org or call 205-776-5200.